So in the passage Elizabeth just read for us, we read of a pivotal moment, I would say, a pivotal moment in the life of the Hebrew people. And let me just remind you what has gotten them there. They are in the promised land. They have, depending on how you read the accounts, either conquered the people or settled in this new land that had been promised them for the whole 40 years they wandered in the wilderness. Moses is no longer with them. He has died before they entered the promised land. Joshua has been their leader as they have entered the land and settled there. Remember, this is an entirely new generation, though, of the generation that left Egypt 40 years earlier. Only two people remain, Joshua and Caleb, because of the unfaithfulness of all the other people in not following God. In fact, I've read suggestions that maybe the reason they had to wander all those years in the wilderness was to try to teach them finally to be faithful to God. Unfortunately, I'm not sure it worked out that way. But that's the moment we are at, is Joshua, he's old now. He's ending his days. And he wants to remind the people where they have come from, what has gotten them there, and leave them with really a challenge or an invitation. And so he gathers them all there at Shechem, and he reminds them, and we only had a portion of the history lesson he gives them here in chapter 24. Remember where we came from. Remember your ancestors. They served other gods, and then Abraham chose to follow God, and that's what's brought us here. Remember, God has brought us to this place, a place we didn't make, and the fruits of which that we enjoy, not because we planted them, but because God has brought us here. And so now, at this moment, choose. Choose this day, for real this time, whom you will serve. Now, I would suggest this is not just a pivotal moment for the people of Joshua's time, but I would suggest this is a choice that we all, each one of us, are given, offered, challenged to make each and every day. Choose this day whom you will serve. The problem in the promised land was there were other people there, the Canaanites, serving other gods, pagan gods. The situation for us may be even more difficult because we have such a myriad of choices out there in our world today of whom to follow and whom to serve. Other small g gods and idols, organizations and groups and even nations or parties. Idols like wealth and power. And even things we might worship and serve like little devices we carry around with us, which take up so much time and attention. You know, almost like worship every time you're checking that little device. And so Joshua, I think his challenge, at least to me, rings out across the years as clear as ever, and maybe as difficult as ever. Choose this day whom you will serve. Make the choice. Where are you going to devote your worship, your time, your energy? Whom will you serve? And know that this is not just a verbal choice. I mean, it's easy enough to say, I choose to follow God. I choose to follow Christ. That's an easy thing to say. But the idea of serving is actions. If you're going to make a choice, make sure you're words and actions reflect that. And that's maybe another part of the difficulty here. Many of us, if you followed what we devote a lot of our time and energy to, God might fall pretty far down that list if we're honest with ourselves. So choose this day whom you will serve, and then begin to act so that people can see, if they're watching, what that choice was. I mean, this is what we get to with the people. It's an amusing moment, I think. Joshua has said, "As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." And then all the people say, "Oh, yeah, we're going to serve God too." And you notice what Joshua says. Joshua says, "I'm not sure you can serve the Lord. Look, I know you people. I've wandered around in the wilderness with you for 40 years. I have my doubts about your sincerity at this moment. But if you are going to truly choose to serve the Lord, begin to act like it." Because it's one thing to say you're going to choose to follow God, another thing to do it. The one's pretty easy to do. There's a lot of people out there who talk good Christian talk. It can even serve you well if you're running for office or something. There are a lot fewer people who really walk the walk. Choose this day whom you will serve, and then begin to act like it. This is why I think this is a choice we are offered, and maybe not even just every day, but many moments throughout every day. Choose. Then, of course, there's the wrinkle or the added element the psalm adds as well, that this choice is not just an individual choice. Notice Joshua himself says, "As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord." Choose and serve, but then there's an element of teach. You've made your choice. You're trying to live it. Now teach, particularly future generations, about your choice. Not to force them, but to encourage them to make a choice as well. This is what the psalm adds to this. Tell future generations about your God and your journey, to encourage them to make the choice. Teaching is a crucial part of our faith. And this is a particular element for Presbyterians as well. Education, teaching, Sunday school. Pass along what you have learned to future generations so maybe they won't make all the mistakes that you've made and I've made. As for me and my family, we're going to teach this. But also, let me remind you about good teaching. Good teaching is not beating someone over the head with a Bible or a textbook. Again, there's a lot of Christians out there who think, yeah, you just beat people up with the Bible. Here's what God says, do it. If you ever had teachers like that in school, I'll bet you don't remember much of anything from those classes. But I'll bet if you think of some good teachers, you can think of people who didn't beat you over the head with knowledge. They encouraged and explained and helped you explore not just the how and the what, but the why. Why did you make the choice to follow God? Why do you try to follow Christ? Why do you come to church? Those are the important questions and answers to be passing along to future generations. The explanation of why. I was having a conversation with Wendy just this week, and she was talking about Carol teaching her about sewing and quilting. I guess it was quilting, not so much. And she said, "You know what's great is Carol doesn't just teach me what she does, but I always ask her to teach me why she does it that way." That's good teaching. As any of you who are teachers or have been students know, it's not just do this. It's here's why. Explanation in addition to knowledge. Might even call that wisdom as well. And this also revolves around remembering, around stories. And that's what the Bible really is. It's a lot of stories to help us remember not just what God has done,